So we're continuing reading in the book of Romans, and we're reading today in Romans chapter 13. If you have a pew Bible, it's page 1140, but it is also on the screen. Romans 13, verse 8 to the end of the chapter. Let no debt remain outstanding, except the debt of continuing to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and whatever command there may be, are summed up in this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber. Because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing or drunkenness, not in sexual immorality or debauchery, not in dissension or jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. Amen.
Thank you so much, Fiona, for that beautiful reading of God's word. Good morning, friends. So for those who are joining us for the first time, we as a church has been going through a series on Romans. And as you can see, we are almost near to the end. And so that's where our passage this morning has come from, and we trust and keep hoping that you will find some food for your life and for your soul. Let's pray. Father, I'm very conscious that I am a mere vessel, a channel that you want to use to communicate your word to your people, and how I depend on you, that you by your spirit use me for your glory. But above all, we are here for you. And so help us to see you anew and continue to speak to us as now we come to the proclamation of your living word. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart all be pleasing and acceptable to you. For you are our rock and our redeemer. In Christ we pray. Amen. So this passage is a word for you. If you are watching online or you are here and in your heart you know that you haven't yet come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a word for you. For almost 400 years after this passage was written, God used it in converting the brilliant, highly intellectual, but immoral person by the name, I think it's going to come, Augustine of Hippo. Some of you, perhaps the first time you're hearing this name, but others is a name that is familiar. A summary of his story goes like this. Augustine had lived a wild life, though a child of a godly mother. I'm sure his mother must have been praying for his child. And of course, when he grew up, he was very intelligent, clever, and he became a professor of rhetoric in Milan. And while he was in that post for 2 years, he was in distress one day. He sat weeping in a garden of his friend, almost persuaded to begin a new life, as he was seriously impressed by the conversion of some, in his own word, rough Roman soldiers. And yet, while he wanted to have a new beginning, he was lacking the final resolution to break away from his sins. And for him, most of his sexual sins. So as he sat there in distress in that garden, he heard a voice, perhaps of playing children, repeating several times, "Take up and read." And so he took a copy of Romans, which lay open by his side, and his eyes fell on this very passage we have just read. When he reached the last two verses, verses 13 and 14, both the reality of his sins and the light of salvation of Christ, salvation in Christ, flooded his heart, and without a delay, he surrendered to the Lord. And you know what? God made him a new creation in Christ Jesus. In his own word, he said, I quote, "No further would I read, nor had I any need." Instantaneously, at the end of that sentence, clear light flooded my heart, and all the darkness of doubt vanished away. A new beginning for Augustine. And ever since in the history, he has been known as Saint Augustine. Now, I have been praying by God's grace for you who have not yet come to know the Lord. And I continue to pray even now as I speak, that God, in his mercy, be pleased to use this passage in the lives of so many of you who have not yet come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, in the same way perhaps he did for Augustine, to save you and to the glorifying his name. For as one of the songs that I like in the time of the Billy Graham, there is no secret of what God can do. If he has done it for others, he can do it for you. But just in case you're thinking, I am already a believer, this is also a word for you. Because this passage was a festival addressed to believers like us. And at the heart of this passage, Paul is Paul's reminder to his reader to what is coming on the screen, to live out the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ in view of Christ's approaching return. He wants to remind us, believers, that we are to live out this glorious gospel that we have been learning and being reminded, and the gospel which we came to believe, that we might live out that in view of Christ's approaching return. On the subject of the Lord's return, my friends, Jesus himself spoke of this, of his second comings. There's no time to read the many verses. He himself promised, even at the end of the book in the Bible, he says, I quote, "Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to anyone, everyone, according to what he or she has done." The Bible described the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, his second coming, as a personal, physical, visible, sudden, triumphant, glorious. Our Lord one day will return to judge the wicked and to receive his people. It will be a day of our full and complete salvation. In other words, it will be a day when our lowly bodies, with wrinkles, with decaying, will be transformed and becoming like his glorious body. Day of full redemption. A day of resurrection. A day of reunion with those we miss, who have gone before us to his presence, believing the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what he has already said in chapter 8, verse 23, that we are eagerly expecting the redemption, our redemption of our bodies. And in our passage this morning, that hour, that day, that moment of receiving our full salvation when he returns is drawing nearer every day. We are nearer today than we were yesterday. We are a lot closer now in the 21st century than they were those to whom Paul first wrote this passage. As we've been singing today, at any moment, he who is coming may choose to break through the cloud. But as we wait, between now and that time, and that day, we are told is a time that is described as a short, but is a time of crisis, is a time of great distress, it's a time of challenge. And so there is a need, according to Paul here and the word of God, to understand this time. Verse 11, he says there, and do this, understanding the present time. There is a need to understand this time. A need to be like the people in the Old Testament who are called men of Issachar in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32. These men are described or are spoken in the Bible, I quote, as men who understood. In other words, men who had a great discernment. The times and what Israel should do. Not only these men understood things like natural times or ceremonial times or political times, the trend of the present times, but above all and more significantly, they understood God's time to fulfill his promises for his people. And so what they did, they, in view of that understanding, they abandoned their allegiance to Saul and accepted David as their king and king of Israel. Let me ask you a question. Do you understand? Do I understand the times we are living in? That perhaps this is a time for us to switch allegiance. Or if I was in the Congo, I would start the song, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. That is your allegiance. Have you decided to switch from what you have been serving, who you've been serving, to now serve the Lord Jesus Christ? That was for these people. And we are encouraged to be like them, understanding the time, and in view of that understanding, do something. And in this passage, in view of Christ's approaching return, Paul gives us at least three important calls. Call number one. We are, my friend, being called to listen to Jesus' alarm clock sound. That's how I could put it. Listen, it's banging, it's ringing. You see, friends, one of the things that is becoming these days is this. There is ignorance and sometimes lack of interest in the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even among believers, it's becoming really a deadly spiritual virus that is spreading among believers, as it also plagued the early church, some of the part of the early church. And it was like, for that reason, Paul is saying in this passage, it looks like he's shouting to say, wake up! From the sleep. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 6, we believers are warned against falling into a sleep. But in this passage, we are encouraged to wake up so that we can become vigilant, a spiritual vigilance, and to be industrial. In other words, don't be sleepy spiritually. As if it were still night. I was looking at the word sleep in a few dictionaries, but in this one, the Encyclopedia of Britannica, I think I should have looked at that in French, but I thought British is great. And sleep is described as, I quote, a state of inactivity with a loss of consciousness and a decrease in responsiveness to event taking place. In other words, if this is what Paul was using like a word, he could have said, wake up from your unconsciousness, unresponsiveness, from your inactivity regarding the things of God. You know, Paul elsewhere, our student here goes to a place called, a meeting called awake. That word came from the Bible. I don't know whether they told you the history of the awake. When that ministry was started here 10 years ago, more than 10 years ago, it is Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14, where Paul, in another place, looked at believers and he said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Wake up. It's time, friends, to wake up from a spiritual I have difficulty pronouncing this word. Lethargy? Lethargy, yeah. Poor Tyler, he taught me one day, but I could not put that in my head. And so, friends, when we are awake, we are asked to wake up, and so that we can become alert and do things, what do we need to do? Now, there are many things we can do. But one which has challenged me this week is this. One of the actions that is badly needed in this time of distress, in this time when Christ is approaching, is prayer. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7 say, the end of all things is near. Be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. I mean, and one of the prayers in this time, come, oh Lord, that's the last prayer. Come, Lord Jesus Christ. When was the last time that little prayer has been in your mouth and in your heart? As you look around, wholeheartedly, come, Lord Jesus. Or are we just too comfortable now? Thinking, I need life here and now. But maybe, as when you go through pain and suffering, you can say, there is no way out. Come, O Lord. Call number two. I need to finish quickly. It's communion. Call number two. Use Jesus' interest-free unlimited credit card of love. Sounds a long title, isn't it? I was looking at this. The first few verses, verse 8 to 10 there, is about love, and then the connection, verse 11, and do this. In other words, you need to be loving because then the time is approaching. So as the time is approaching, we need to be loving. And the love here, Paul resumes this talk of love, which he started already chapter 12, verse 9. Already we heard love. But then he resumes this to say, look, Love is an honorable debt which must be paid, and a debt which never can be paid. We are to keep owing and always paying, or to use this language of the media or the mobile provider, pay as you go. Pay as you go. Keep paying love, but you will never pay it off. You need to keep knowing that I am owing. So my appeal to you this morning, if your credit is not yours, it's Jesus' interest-free, unlimited credit card of love. If your card, the amount that is there of love is decreasing, top up. Top up as much as you can. And then keep spending it. Maybe your heart begin to grow cold. Because the Bible says, in the last days, wickedness will increase and the love of so many will grow cold. There will be no time when it will be enough loving, and then you say, I can quit or I can pay it off. Practically, how do we do that? I don't want to go in detail, but look how very practical Paul is here. He's saying, normally the genuine Christian love, that which is here, it meant to copy the self-giving love of Jesus. In that love, there is no room for immorality. If you love someone, then you can't do this, then you can't do that. Those are practical ways of loving. Earlier on in chapter 1, verse 14, Paul say, I have also another debt I owe people, is the debt of sharing or proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. And soon we are coming here. We say, as we eat and drink, we do this. We proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Call number 3, and that's where I'll finish. We are called to wear Jesus' clothing brand. I don't know what the latest design you like wearing. What is your brand? Is this John Lewis or I don't know. What kind of socks you like wearing? I don't know. What kind of watch? Like yesterday, I felt, wow. 900,000? No, 900,000 for a watch? If they just give us that money for the church, we can buy just a watch I can carry in my pocket. Friends, there is no brand in the entire world that is so beautiful, so eye-catching, so honorable than to wear Jesus clothing brand. Did you see the language here? That is the language of taking off and putting on. It's a language of exchange of clothes. Before we can wear this Jesus brand's clothing brand, we need to take off. Take off the dirty clothes. Take off these deeds of darkness, the old way of living, the indecent day of walking. Take all those filthy clothes, the night one. Imagine if you came here with your night clothes. Some will be going, spreading bad smell. Let's face it, some still pee in the bed, even adult. Are you thinking, where is Abby going with this? The point I'm making, night clothes are dirty, no matter how clean they may look like. And in the spiritual realm, friends, they are night clothes that we need to take off, so that as individual, but also as a church, we can spread the fragrance around us like a sweet aroma or aroma. I don't want to go into detail, but in this brand, there are two things. He said there, put on the armor of light. In other words, put on the weapons of light. Because to be a Christian is not a joke. We need to defend. We need protection. Because we are like soldiers who are engaged in a spiritual war. That's why he's saying, wake up. But then the other thing is, he said, it's not only weapons of light. What you need to wear, the clothes you need to wear is more personalized now. Verse 14, clothe yourself with Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't have time to unpack that. But what did Paul meant? Why was he saying that when we know already that we put Jesus when we come in a time of conversion, but also in a time of baptism? What does it mean? As we continue to dig and think, I don't have all the answers, but what is here is that Paul is saying there is no room for spiritual complacency. There is always room for a decisive renewal, a fresh advance. Must submit yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ, even when we are Christian. No room for us to be sitting in complacency, but we need to be attuned to the Lord Jesus Christ, to his ways, to claim his character, his identity, so that as we walk on the street with Jesus' clothing brand in us, people will see and they will take notice. But not only for people to see, but for you and I to be transformed in the image and the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. So friends, as we wait, let me put the way my brother Angus taught me. As we await for the Lord's return, which is approaching soon, as we look forward to that hope of a Savior and the Lord, as we look forward to the redemption, the full reception of our salvation, as we look forward to that day when there will be no tears, no distress, no pain, no suffering, let Jesus be our clothing now. For it is he only we need. It's only him we need. Clothe him yourself with the Lord Jesus. But let use and keep using and keep using our given interest-free, unlimited credit card of love. Some people are difficult to love, and that's where we need the grace in these days. But we can only do that if we are awake, spiritually awake. Are you sleeping? Am I sleeping? Are we as a church awake or still sleeping? In this year of growing in and by the word, may the Lord grant us grace to understand the times we are in. And so, to God be the glory.